Question number 13359, Mr. George Richardson, reel 23.
Mr. G.S. Richardson, reel 23. You were sent to Skipton to what was left of the 6th Battalion. What happened to you then?
Well, we were sent to Skipton to join the Dermot Infantry, but I did not know it was 6th Battalion. We entrained from Sussex up to Skipton Station. At Skipton Station, there was a young lieutenant I'd never seen before. He had a black Durham Light Infantry badge and black left-hand sign and star, and I thought, aye, aye, 6th Battalion. So I got off the train and reported, and he looked at me, came up, 4587 Richardson, what are you wearing a black hat badge for? I says, I've always worn a black hat badge, sir. I was a member of the 6th Battalion Durham Light Infantry. He says, I am in the 6th Battalion, Durham Light Infantry, and you've been told to report the 6th Battalion. I says, thank God. I thought I'd be sent to another holding unit. So the rest of the Durhams were taken to other places. I think some of them were sent to the 8th Battalion, who was also training, but the 9th Battalion were still with the over in Germany. So I was given a billet to go into, and I was told to report to commanding on commanding orders next morning. I was sent by a runner to report to commanding officer's orders next morning.
Do you remember the date?
Oh, no. No. Anyway, it must have been towards June. I went to commanding officer's orders. I thought I was going to get ticking off about addressing the officer the way I had, because, you know, what I said to him when they said, I've got more right to wear the black hat badge than what you have. I looked him straight in the eyes and said, Dad, shouldn't have done. Anyway, I went in, and Colonel Woods sat there. And he straight away got up and shook me by the hand. What the world has happened to you? Where have you come from? And I told him the history of where I'd gone through 21st Army Group headquarters and done a bit of a duffy up there, up Germany, and back to a holding unit, sent me down to put another regiment, and then I finished up in Skipton. So he says, well, no way are you going in our company's train for the Far East. He says, I'll see what I can do for you. The company orderly came down to me billet and said, you've got to report to the quartermaster, he's got a job for you. Went to the quartermaster and he put me in charge of weapon training store. And all I had to do was dish targets out in the morning and pierce targets when they come back all shattered at night. We had boxes of blanks and firecrackers and stuff like that in the stores. I just had to keep a record of what went out and what came back. And all day long I was practically doing nothing. Just nip around and have a look at the local pubs, see what British beer tasted like. Wasn't a lot of it around then because it was coming towards the end of the war. And so for a few weeks over there. I was asked if I wanted to go on an education course. An education officer had come from the education corps, and in the local school had a class of volunteers that wanted to take up some education. So I joined the class, and he gave us all a paper with some mathematics on it, and Well, I nearly laughed when I saw it. I've been doing that kind of stuff around about class four, way back in Hunterton School. And I just filled all the answers in and handed them the paper in. Some of the other lads were still struggling with some of them. So he said, what do you know about mathematics? So I said, give me your book. I said, open the book. It says logarithms, trigonometry, calculus. I said to this, I says, I was doing a mathematics course at Sunderland Technical College for minor certificates before I came into the army. So he says, I'm afraid you know more mathematics than what I do. He says, I can't teach you anything. So I just reported back to company headquarters that my education course was finished.
Were you getting restless at all? The war was over now.
Yes.
And the mob was obviously in your mind.
I'd already had a short leave when I reached Skipton. I had more leaves in the last few months than what I'd had over the previous 4 years. After a few weeks at Skipton, it was getting towards October. Yes, in October. I was on command officer's orders to go to command office. And I went up and I went in, not knowing what to expect. I stood there and saluted. And he says, the adjutant here, I'll read you out the paper, Corporal. He says, I think we've got some either good news or bad news. So he said that I was being put on a big release to go back to New Hunterton Colliery, County Durham, to become a miner again. If you wish, you'll train for Strensel in Yorkshire to be demobbed. If you wish, you can stay with this unit and carry on doing the job you're doing now until your demob comes through. We'd been given demob numbers. I was around about 107, I think, and I would have been demobbed probably next January or February for my service. I'd gone into the army early in January 15th, 1940. So I thought, okay, home, and they gave me 2 weeks leave. I was sent over to Strensel with me discharge papers, reported to Strensel. They gave me an outfit of demob suit, quite a good suit, trilby hat, a pair of black shoes, shirts, and quite a good rig out. I wore it for quite a few years because back in Sewer Street, clothes were hard to get.
Did you have a medical?
We had a medical. I was weighed. I was 12 stone 4. I'd lived very well over the last few months of the war, because I'd got quite skinny in the desert. And so I was 12 stone 4. I was classed medical air fit, and came out and 2 weeks notice, 2 weeks leave, reported back in civvies. Mother was over the moon. I went up to the local colliery. They had received word from the war office that I was to be taken on the bay release, called back any time. The war in Asia had been over while I was in Skipton. We celebrated that while I was in Skipton. And so I went down to my sister's down in Caterham in Surrey for a few days during my leave. During that time, there was a remembrance ceremony on November 11th. I put my uniform on and went up and joined in the remembrance parade at Whitehall in 1945, 11th of November.
Did you find it difficult settling down to civilian life after the army?
I'm afraid I did. I went back and reported I had to retrain as a miner from basic. I had to do underground face training. I couldn't be taken on in my job as assistant mine surveyor, because I'd been allocated. There was already a trained man in my place. The men that were there were a lot of the miners that I'd grown up with and gone to school with. They didn't want to know anything about my war career. They weren't interested in the least bit. There was quite a few keep getting discharged back to the colliery. I had to start working hard. I worked, first of all, worked as a coal miner, coal filler. Then I went on to stonework. And then I started studying again at Technical College at Sunderland. I got, again, my deputy certificate, shop firing certificate, and went on to gain what was known as an overman certificate. And it was like a second-class miner certificate. It wasn't good enough to be a mine under manager, but by this time I'd gotten a job at nearby Houghton Colliery as assistant mine surveyor, advancing lines and doing small surveys on behalf of the manager under the main surveyor, which was at Bunker Hill, the area headquarters. And I did that until the pay wasn't enough. I started deputy work, became an official in charge of a district. Houghton Colliery looked as though it was ready to close. After a year or two, I stopped going to the Sunderland Technical College because going there on part-time and trying to keep a deputy's job going was a bit too much.
Can we just finish with, you'd been in the army obviously for many years. Who was the best officer you served under?
Oh, Major Woods, no doubt about that. And of course our own signal officers, we got to know them man to man. We always said sir to them, and he always addressed as Sergeant Corporal or signaller when he was shouting for any of us. But they were the officers that we were close in contact with. There was the Proud, Major Proud, he was a good man. Captain Cole, we knew he'd got an MC, he was a good officer. There was quite a few who stood out as being brave officers. But no doubt, who had been our second in command in when we'd captured Bayo, and I was his signaller, and he recognised me when I went back to Skipton, and I was happy to see him again. And he knew my name, George. I wasn't Corporal George, I was George to him, and I enjoyed that.
NCOs stand out in your mind, any?
Well, there was, of course, the RSM Page, a very good, typical sergeant major of the pre-war era. He trained as a Durham Light Infantry sergeant major. He was not only a sergeant major, but he was a gentleman. He more often messed with the officers, and when we were out of action, he had the job of training young lieutenants Durham Light Infantry drill, and I've seen him on the square rollicking young lieutenants. We're always putting sir at the end of it, and they were absolutely frightened of RSM Page. But when he was on parade, he was on parade. But when he was off, he was a gentleman, and he knew how to talk to us. They were the most outstanding. Of course, we had our Sergeant Scott, who was lost somewhere in the desert. I don't know whether he went to a prison of war or whether he was killed. We never saw him again. Sergeant Dawes, he was one of them NCOs that was always there really for a laugh and a joke, ready to pull a fast one if he could, have a Christmas raffle for a pig, and it turned out to be a candy pig, and things like that. He was always ready to get a bingo session going wherever the chance was to make a little bit money for his beer. Whenever we went into a strange place, he'd probably be the only man that picked up the local widow that had no man that run around. He usually went out and looked for the ugliest looking women nobody else wanted, nor he always had his breakfast there. So he was one of those he became a sergeant in the signals, but we lost him in the desert somewhere, just slightly wounded. We never saw him again after that.
Any personalities amongst the men themselves that
Jimmy Sixsmith stood out. He was my mate right away from going into the 6th Battalion. We'd trained together as signalers. We went together. Of course, there was Harry Richardson. He went astray in the desert somewhere. Because him and I had come to contact as recruits, because our numbers had been mixed up. I still have the two numbers in my paybook now, one scratched out, the other one with me number in. But Harry Richardson, close pal, a bit of a comedian. But Jimmy Sixsmith was always ready to laugh out of... Whenever we're in any big calamity, Jimmy Sixsmith usually found a way to laugh out of it. And we got on well. Hubert Latham lived at Sunland. He was another one that... he was a close friend. I sometimes think, and there was a bit of a rumour, that he was a bit of a pansy. They reckon that he was, but I never found out. But I saw him some years later in Sunderland, in Civvies, and he was with another one that I knew he maybe was a pansy. So he could have been, but I didn't know.
But this didn't show in the army?
No, not really. No, he did his job.